You are coming to Christ, the living stone which was rejected by human, but was chosen and is precious by God. You came to him as living stones, your spiritual house that is being built into Christ, into holy priesthood. So offer spiritual sacrifices that God accepts through Jesus. That is why the scripture says,
I am laying a chosen and precious cornerstone in Zion, and the person who believes in him will never be ashamed.
This honor belongs to those who believe, but to those who don't believe,
the cornerstone that the buildings rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone that people trip over, a large rock that people find offensive.
The people tripped over the word because they refused to believe it. Therefore, this is how they ended up.
So we're making our way through 1 Peter in these months. And I want to look at this passage here that speaks about buildings and cornerstones and foundations. And especially to focus on Jesus as our cornerstone, that precious and chosen cornerstone that God has set forth for us. And I just want to start with this question. What foundation do you find that you're building your life upon? And that can change from time to time. Some might say, I'm building my life on my own abilities and competencies. You know, that I'm going to make my way. I'll solve my problems, you know, I'll figure it out. Other people might be at the other place of feeling like, I don't have any foundation. I need to rely on others to be my strength and my foundation. Or my foundation is kind of carving out this comfortable life away from the chaos of the world around me. And that's what I'm going to ground my life on. All kinds of things that we might say are our foundation. And before we go any farther, I would just want to give like a visual understanding of foundations. So Shane is going to help me out with this. If you want to come forward. This is called a wobble board, just so you can see it because it's going to be on the ground here. And so, first of all, Shane's going to stand there, both feet on the ground, feet apart. I'm going to throw the ball to him. You know what? I'm a little nervous about being right there. Okay, so no problem, right? Now go on 1 foot and catch the ball. Throw it, okay. Might be a little hard. One more time. Okay, now can you stand on the wobble board? With both feet. Both feet, yeah. And catch. Okay, you can tell it's harder. And now, not much harder, but a little bit. Now 1 foot. Okay. Okay, that's good. If you've ever tried it, that was good. Thank you. Could make it even harder by putting like a cushion on top and then trying to stand on it. I wasn't sure what our liability insurance was like here. So obviously there's different things that can serve as foundation. Some are going to be much more secure than others. And Peter's suggesting, and Jesus himself is claiming Jesus as that solid cornerstone. So we want to look at that a little bit more this morning. Peter gives this invitation in our scripture for today. Come to me, or come to him, Peter says, Jesus, who is a living stone. And he goes on to say, if you look here in chapter 2, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, chosen and precious. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus. So just this image of the church as Jesus being the cornerstone, that living stone, and we as living stones being built upon that. That image is next week's focus. You know, we as the church being built upon the cornerstone. But we want to focus on that cornerstone this morning. And Jesus is described as this living stone. It seems almost like Peter's realizing the limits of this imagery, because a stone is lifeless. But Jesus is this living stone, and we are living stones being built upon it. So understanding something that's dynamic and filled with life and life-giving, like Peter's way of describing this is Jesus is the head and we're the body, this living, moving, acting body representing the Lord. But here it's this these living stones being built upon Jesus. I think what Peter wants to get at is we're the new temple being built upon Jesus. Just like Jesus said, tear this down and 3 days it'll rise again or be built up. They think he's referring to this building, the temple with its stones and so forth. But he's talking about his body, which will come to life. So Jesus as the cornerstone. And Peter quotes from Isaiah chapter 28. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and a precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So this cornerstone is described as chosen and precious. Chosen in that it's properly selected, it's chosen with care, and then also it's precious, it's an honored, it's the best kind of stone. So picture a stonemason out there amongst all the rocks trying to pick that which is going to be the cornerstone. And so that stonemason is looking for one that is true. It doesn't have any cracks in it, doesn't have any obvious faults or weaknesses, but the best, the strongest, the purest of the stones that are out there, then to be carefully created into this, what's going to be the cornerstone of the building. In Isaiah 28, the word that's used instead of chosen is a tried stone or a tested stone. And again, we can see Jesus as the one who was tested throughout his life and death to be the one true stone. And so just want to think about a little bit more about what a cornerstone is. And I was going to interview a stonemason or a mason out there, and I never got around to it. But I went to YouTube, and there was a stonemason who talked about his work and his faith and kind of made this connection between a literal cornerstone and Jesus. And so three things about cornerstones. First is it's the first stone that's put in place. It's the starting point. Everything is built upon this stone. And again, it's the best quality. It's representative of all the other stones that are going to be built later. And then secondly, it has foundational strength. It has to have strength to hold up this building. Solomon's temple, the cornerstone was 38 feet long and 100 tons. You know, just something solid that's going to hold up this temple. And then the third thing is that the cornerstone provides orientation and direction for the rest of the building. So it gives that kind of orientation. And so I want to look at that a little bit more. It's the cornerstone is the first stone that's placed. And to think about Jesus in those terms. And our faith is all about that God did something very singular through Jesus, the Son, to bring about his redeeming purposes. Like everything is built upon that. We have to be clear to see the whole history, that God has been working to bring about his salvation. But that the final, the most important, part of that plan is then what he did through Jesus, his life and death and resurrection. And since Peter's writing this, I thought I'd go back to something that Peter said earlier to understand Jesus as this first part of God's plan and God's building. This is in Acts 2. This is Peter, his first sermon in the new church, filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And Peter says this: God publicly endorsed Jesus of Nazareth by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed with the help of lawless Gentiles. You nailed him to a cross and killed him, but God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. And now he's exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he promised, gave his Holy Spirit to pour out among us, just as you see and hear today. So let everyone in Israel, let everyone everywhere know for certain that God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Savior. Jesus as that central place in our faith. Paul says no other foundation can be laid other than that one that's already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If we go back to that Isaiah scripture, behold, I lay a stone in Zion, a tried, a precious, a cornerstone. We could look at that as a foreshadowing of Jesus, the cornerstone that's going to be laid. But already the message for that day, for Isaiah's audience, is that God, Jehovah, has set his name and his presence in that place. And it's a mistake to look anywhere else for the people's deliverance or for their security. Jehovah, I myself am your foundation, your cornerstone. Also foreshadowing of Jesus as that cornerstone for all people. So First Peter's, as we looked at before, is all about hope. It's Peter's calling these people to a living hope, to live in hope every day. No matter what trials and struggles you're facing, that you're living, looking forward with faith and with hope. And we often sing, I think we sang it last week, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I've sung that for over 50 years, and I don't think I ever thought about, I dare not trust the sweetest frame. I don't know if anybody can relate to that. Sometimes you sing these lyrics and don't really think about what they mean. So this week I thought about it. You know, what does it mean I dare not trust the sweetest frame? If we think about this whole idea of foundations and what we build our life upon, it seems like the author of this hymn is saying that framework, the things that we can put our trust in, you know, framing our life on these things, it might be the sweetest of frames that we might choose. It might look to be sweet and satisfying, but is that what I want to put my trust in? Or is my hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? So lots of things can be the sweetest frame for us. It might be a leader who comes forward and seems like this person is the one that can lead us in the right direction. Going to really put everything into that leader. Could be our wealth. It could be people's admiration. That is so sweet to gain people's admiration. That's what I'm going to really allow to be the foundation of my life. Different relationships that we have become the foundation of life. The power and authority that we hold over other people. Our health and our strength. I can do whatever I want with the strength and the mind that I have. It could be our good works, you know, the good things that I do are earning me God's favor before him. But I dare not trust any, as sweet as these things might be and as far as they might carry us through life, at some point they're going to not be able to be that secure foundation for us. And if we, again, if we take that building metaphor, Jesus is the cornerstone and we are living stones built upon him in the church. I just want to kind of borrow that image. And this time to think of, Jesus as the cornerstone, but then the other gifts that God gives us in our life, we build those upon Jesus as the cornerstone. Our life can't just be Jesus only, but our life is filled with all the gifts he gives us, our relationships, the money that we earn, the jobs that we have. And the idea, I believe, is if Jesus is the cornerstone, that it's good to have all these things, but we see, we live out these things in light of Jesus as our cornerstone. And so when Jesus is the center of our lives, it flavors and reorients all the other things that we hold in our life. How we use our money. No longer is it the primary thing that we seek after, but we see it as a gift of God to use generously and to care for ourselves and the people around us. How we behave in our relationships. No longer is it maybe that I'm living to gain all that I can from the other person, but now I'm becoming a servant and I see the value, the deeper value of all the relationships around me. How much I trust earthly leaders. I still respect and try to heed what the leaders around me in this world are saying. But knowing that there's a truth and there's a leadership beyond that. Jesus as the cornerstone is, that's where our ultimate trust is. And we build the other things of life upon that ultimate trust. Everything else is flavored by him. The second thing about cornerstones, again, is the cornerstone is the upholding strength of the building. Jesus is that load-bearing strength for us. And we could think about all the ways that Jesus showed his strength while he was here on earth. That strength to stay true to his mission. All these temptations to get off mission and to seek the things that will be great for him. But he stayed true to his mission, even to the cross. The strength of bearing the crushing load of all of our sins and shame and our weaknesses, and bearing them for us and dying for them. The strength to break the power of death, to break the power of sin and evil for us. It's a different kind of strength, but it's the strength that we need. And then as we think about our ongoing life, Jesus says to us, like he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My power, my strength works best in your weakness. And so Paul can give testimony, now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ, that foundational power, can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. That undergirding strength. The people that Peter was writing to here, they needed that kind of undergirding strength. They needed that encouragement because of the trials and the opposition they were facing. And so this morning, think about what your weak spots might be. Just like that stonemason's looking at those stones, and for the cornerstone, he's picking that which doesn't have any blemishes, doesn't have any weaknesses. That's Jesus. We do, and we need his strength. So what's the temptation facing you right now to move away from Christ and his way? Or what are the insecurities that you're dealing with that he can be strong in the midst of? What are your areas of failure or seeming failure that you need the encouragement and the guidance and the strength of Christ for your life? In him, we have this sustaining strength, the power of God that can be present, that gives us hope, even in the times of struggle and trial. And then the third thing about cornerstones, again, is that they provide this orientation. You know, you can lay a cornerstone down and you can begin to lay the other stones or blocks. And you might really feel like you're going straight. And the first row might be pretty straight. The next row might be a little bit less straight. And by the time you're done, you're just out of alignment. Because you didn't lay down the strings or, you know, string out from the cornerstone or lay down or put the plumb line down to make sure that you're squaring up everything, that everything's aligned and oriented. Again, Jesus represents that for us. Just like the stonemason's looking for that best representation, the best stone to start with. And this mason that I was listening to on YouTube, he was saying, with buildings, later on when there's restoration that needs to happen, what the builder will do is go back and look at the cornerstone and say, this is the grade of stone that I should be looking for to make the repairs. Just as we're being built as living stones upon this living cornerstone, that's the representation, that's the orientation that we look towards in our lives. And he provided that for us by how he lived and how he saw other people. So that's why we can't just talk about Jesus' death and resurrection. His life really matters because that's what orients our own lives. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He said, I'm setting this example that you would follow it. Jesus served instead of being served. Jesus didn't conform to the ways of the world, but kept, again, in line with the will of God. Jesus demonstrated humility and forgiveness in his relationships. Jesus was steadfast in honoring the Father in everything he did, as an example for us. Jesus showed justice and love for the least of these. That's our guide point. Jesus relied on prayer before moving forward. That's an orientation for us. Jesus showed compassion to all people. He hated hypocrisy. He hated arrogance. Those are guiding points for us. He saw everybody as having intrinsic values, that everyone was worthy of his ministry and his death. That becomes a guiding point for all of us, including how we see ourselves as having great value. Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount, his most comprehensive sermon that we have record of, to show us and teach us how to live. And he ends that sermon by saying, the wise man builds his house upon a solid rock. A foolish man is the one who builds upon the sinking sand. You know, you've heard all these things in the Sermon on the Mount. Allow that to be this solid rock for you to build your life upon. So in conclusion, this invitation's given to us by Peter. Come to Jesus, who's the living stone, who can be your cornerstone. But also it can be an invitation for us who already feel like and are living as if Jesus is our cornerstone, to think about it as a time of inspection of the foundation, the cornerstone. When I was hearing stories about this tragic building collapse in Miami, it seemed like there was inspectors over the last few years who looked and said, something's wrong there in the foundation of this building. You know, something needs to be done. This morning, as we look at the scripture, that can be where we're at, to inspect our foundations and question whether something needs to be done. Do I need to somehow bring Jesus more fully under me as this cornerstone? If not, Jesus says it, and Peter says it as well, that he will become a stumbling stone rather than this stone that's at the center of our life. And I like how Claire put it in the call to worship, that it's about seeing those who had their hearts open to recognize Jesus, gained all that he was offering. Those who were blind to it, Jesus becomes a stumbling stone. And as I think about this, that God's building up his church. God's forming his people. I just hear in this assurance that God's going to finish his work. No matter what, how we believe or don't believe, God's going to finish his work. And the choice is ours. Are we going to be one of those living stones that are part of that building? Or will this whole message about Jesus just be a stumbling stone that we stumble away from what God's doing and what God's building for all of eternity? Just to think about how he's bringing things under his righteousness and under his goodness and under his beauty. We can be part of that, or we can stumble away from it. And I hear Peter giving us that choice. So may we continue as a church to build upon Jesus as cornerstone, as the sure foundation for our lives and for our ministry. Let's pray together. God, thank you that, again, in your great mercy, you are continuing to carry out your saving purposes, and you're centering those saving purposes on Jesus, our cornerstone. May Jesus be for us the source of our life, the very first priority, and the source from which everything else in our life springs. May Jesus be that undergirding strength for our lives. May he be the strength in our weakness. And we pray that we might reorient our lives upon the teachings, the example, the callings of Jesus for our life. Please help reshape and reorient our lives where they've gone off of true orientation. Thank you, Lord, that you're building your church, you're building your kingdom, and you invite us to be a living part of that. May that be true here at Whitmer Heights, Lord. Build us more and more fully into the purposes that you have for us, with Jesus as the center. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.